Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, May 13th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gandhi.
Among our top stories this evening,
the government gives companies polluting the country's water system 6 weeks to clean up their act or face a punitive action.
We gave them at least a minimum of 6 weeks to install proper pieces of equipment so that they pre-treat their waste before they discharge it into the sewer system or the river system.
Classes began for the second term today, with most schools heeding the government's call not to turn away children whose parents have failed to pay fees.
I think I will engage in some projects like selling chicken, selling clothes on flea markets so that I am able to get income to send my children to school.
And Bulawayo residents live in fear of a stray lion which was spotted in the city's low-density suburbs a few weeks ago and keeps eluding officials from the Zimbabwe Parks and Wildlife Authority.
A cabinet committee led by local government minister Ignatius Chombo today read the riot act to companies allegedly polluting the country's water system as experts warn of an impending major health crisis. The committee summoned the companies, among them Delta Beverages, the Cold Storage Company, Schweppes, Ingwebu, Trade Kango and Funeral Palace. Sources tell Studio 7 that the minister warned the companies to immediately look for safer ways to dispose their waste, adding stiffer penalties would be imposed on those who fail to heed the government's call. Officially opening the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair late last month, President Robert Mugabe expressed dismay at the quality of water being consumed by residents in many cities, saying doctors had told the government it was contaminated with sewage. A report compiled by permanent secretaries of various ministries cited funeral parlors, service stations, fuel holding depots, and food processing plants as the leading polluters in the country. Local government minister Chombo tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the government has given 6 weeks to the companies to clean up their act.
The various stakeholders were happy that the government has given them an opportunity to correct any deficiencies that their manufacturing plant might have had. They are appreciative that they have been given an opportunity to rectify while they are still conducting business, and also to keep in touch with EMA and the local authorities so that we continue to reduce pollution of our water that we are purifying. And that's why in turn, we reduce the cost of purifying water when the water in our rivers is decent and clean.
But have they been given time to rectify this issue? How long did you give them?
We gave them at least a minimum of 6 weeks to install proper pieces of equipment so that they pre-treat their waste before they discharge it into the sewer system or the river system.
What happens to those who defy or do not comply?
I didn't get a feeling of anybody that would have wanted to genuinely and deliberately defy, but the EMA, the Environmental Management Agency, together with the relevant local authorities, will be able to take relevant appropriate measures, drastic measures, to enforce the laws of the land to be complied with, especially as far as pollution is concerned.
That was the local government minister Ignatius Chombo in Harare.
The Harare City Council has also been cited as one of the major polluters. Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the city is facing a crisis because of polluted water systems.
The problem of water pollution situation is actually alarming to a point where it has now attracted multi-stakeholder interest. That which is why Societe Council, it's also government, it's environmental bodies, and other stakeholders are now coming together to attend to this problem of water pollution. It is emanating from places like chemical processing plants, transport operators, garages, service stations, tanneries, which treat hides and dyes, paint manufacturing companies, even funeral parlors. The embalming fluid is considered one of the pollutants that are coming in. Beverage manufacturers as well, they're also contributing to the pollution crisis.
President Mugabe recently lamented the quality of water that people in urban areas are drinking. How safe is Harare's water?
We believe our water is safe, but we have cause to concern. We must continue attending to the quality levels of water. I would drink Harare water myself, although I'm sensing and sharing the concerns that are coming out that it may not be as pure as we would want it to be.
That was Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Apart from Harare, mining communities have also been hit hard by pollution. Blessing reached the chairman of the Chiyazwa Community Development Trust, Marvin Mudiwa, who says the rich Chiyazwa diamond area has been hit hard by polluting companies.
It is so desperate that it is not supposed to be taking place in the first place. It is our hope that the government was supposed to eliminate that or even to put measures that these companies must stop polluting our rivers. Because the effects are that we are experiencing miscarriages of our cattle, of our animals, above all the fishes that live in those waters. They are also being affected.
Are people also complaining about the quality of the water?
They are complaining bitterly because the water is, even if you can see it is black, you can't even see what is inside the waters. And also, the people are complaining about itching. Once you use it for washing, you experience the itching.
That was Chairman of the Chiyazwa Community Development Trust, Marvin Mudiwa, on the line from Harare with Blessing.
The Cabinet Committee has recommended that the Minister of Environment immediately gazette a statutory instrument enforcing the court polluter pays principle. But environment lawyer Shamiso Mtisi tells Blessing Zulu that Zimbabwe has adequate laws that are not being implemented to prevent disasters.
Zimbabwe has adequate laws. I can start with the new constitution. There's a section in the constitution which actually provides for fundamental rights. And one of the fundamental rights and freedoms there is the right to a healthy and clean environment. This is actually included in the Constitution. So it's an important provision that is there. So it shows that the supreme law of the country has got or recognized the right to a clean and healthy environment. And that right to a clean and healthy is actually important for access to adequate water as well as clean water. Then if you also look at the Constitution, there is a provision which provides a right to water, right? Access to water is very important, as much as access to food is also very important. So the Constitution is adequate in that respect. Then the Constitution also is supported by existing legislation, like what is called the Environmental Management Act.
Lastly, can a community sue a company that would have polluted its water systems?
Yes, community can sue any company that is polluting waters.
Where then is the problem coming from?
That was environment lawyer Shamiso Mtisi speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Chegutu.
Schools opened for the second term today with some parents still unable to send their children back to class after failing to raise fees. Many now fear their children may eventually be turned away from classes. The government recently warned schools against barring children from class for failing to pay fees. It also warned schools not to raise fees and levies, as some parents complained they were struggling to raise money. Studio 7 received mixed reports from parents on the ground, with some reporting their children were were being turned away for not paying fees. But the majority of parents said their children were allowed to attend classes even after failing to pay. Parents are unsure of what will happen as the week progresses. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Chris Makwenda, a father of two whose children are going to school, about his fears as he struggles to raise the required amount.
Yes, I managed to send them to school, but under difficult circumstances, because we have no cash to pay school fees, so that's the main problem that we have.
Were there any indications that your school might be sending children back who are unable to pay school fees?
Yeah, it's most likely because schools cannot operate without buying stationery and other material that is used to make learning effective. So they're likely to be sent back home.
And how would that affect them going forward? What grades are your children in?
This has got a negative effect on their performance because they will be left behind while the others are learning. So it's going to draw them back in terms of performance at the end of the term.
Moving forward, how do you hope to be able to find the funds to pay for your children's school fees?
Yeah, I think I will engage in some projects like selling chicken, selling clothes on flea markets so that I am able to get income to send my children to school. But the problem is that there is lack of capital, so it's going to be a problem. Those projects will be very small, making it difficult for me to raise enough funds to pay for the fees.
That was Chris Makwenda in Zishawane.
Meanwhile, Ambrose Sibindi of the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association says parents can approach his association to seek legal assistance on kids being sent home from classes.
Already, we have got the usual challenges that we have got some other schools that were barring children from boarding buses to go to those boarding schools. But the government is very clear that no child will be sent away from school. If there are issues with fees, the government is clear that only the parents should be taken to the court. But yesterday, we had some instances whereby some schools sent the children away, and that's very bad. As for today, everything is in order. We are seeing children rushing to school. We are not sure now. We don't have the confidence yet as whether there are some schools, these days schools, that have sent children away. But so far, so good.
So what happens when people are sent back home? What do parents do about it?
We encourage those parents to come to our offices, and we engage the legal experts to take those parents to the court, because we are saying the contract is between the parent and the school, not the child and the school. So if you are barring the child, you are punching the wrong person. We are saying if the parents are unable to pay the school fees, they are the ones that fall, not the child. And more so, our constitution is very clear that the education is the basic right of the child, and no one should tamper with that basic right. So we are saying those parents should come to our offices so that we can assist them.
That was Ambrose Sibindi of the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association on the line with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
Meanwhile, the epic... Meanwhile, the Apex Council says it is worried by the government's delay to disburse membership subscriptions deducted automatically by the Salary Services Bureau from civil servants' salaries. The money deducted should be forwarded to various civil servants' unions and associations, but Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani says the government has lately been failing to do so. No explanation has been offered to the unions. As a result, the unions say they are now failing to pay rentals and their workers on time, among other issues. Gundani says the unions will meet Friday to discuss the issue and map the way forward.
What has happened this month is that we have got to this time, this day, the 13th day of a new month, and still no funds have been disbursed back to the unions. And this has brought untold suffering, particularly among the workers. Unions are also employers. They employ a large number of staff and workers who have not been paid to date, and employees and officers also have their own families to look after. They also have children who are supposed to go to school. Their children have not gone to school. This is a very sad development, which is not acceptable.
What are you going to do?
What we have had to do is that we realize that we need to convene a very urgent meeting of the Apex Council, which we are convening this Friday. Among other things, this is one of the issues that has been raised by individual unions. We need to talk about this, and we need to come up with a clear position that we are going to and engage government so that a lasting solution to this is sought, because this cannot be allowed to go on. So that also we get an official explanation from government. What is happening? What is the money being used for? Or is there any money at all?
That was Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani on the line from Gweru with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Secretary General Raymond Majongwe says his union yesterday tried to engage the government over the issue.
It is not only a problem that is peculiar to PTUZ, but it has almost become a serious challenge on our part, in that we have 10 offices around the country whose rentals we can't pay. We have 32 employees who are looking for rentals, and that school they just opened. They also want to pay school fees for their children. They want to be coming to work. And all these the challenges are facing the organization. And there is no particular official position from government that is saying the reason we have not given you the money is this, save for the fact that possibly they are facing challenges. But the most important thing is that morale within the organization is very low. But at least they appreciate that this is a problem that is created from outside and not from inside.
For how long has this been going on, Mr. Majongwe?
This has almost become the third month. In the first month, we went for about 3 days, and then we got the money. In the second month, it went to 5-6 days. And now we have gone to 16 days. And I think we are honestly getting worried. And we have a legitimate reason to seriously getting worried, because one would have assumed that government was going to communicate with Apex Council or the unions in their individual positions. But the Apex has not met, and the government has not communicated anything.
Have you made any efforts to try and meet with the government over this issue?
Yes. As PTUZ, I can boldly declare that we had a meeting that involved members from ProTech and the PTUZ, and we engaged the government. And we were taken through some of the challenges that government is facing. But we simply communicated and said, there is nothing that beats communication. There's nothing that beats dialogue. And we would have assumed that government, with the problems and challenges they are facing, simply calling us for a meeting and communicating that would have solved the problem, because our members would have been advised.
That was PTUZ Secretary General Raymond Majongwe on the phone from Harare.
Meanwhile, the Civil Service Commission says the Ministry of Finance Economic Development has changed the May 2014 pay dates for civil servants. In a statement just received, Civil Service Commission Secretary Mrs. Priti Sunguru said the pay day in the education sector has been moved from the 15th to the 16th of May, while the rest of the civil service will receive their salaries on the 29th of May instead of the 22nd of May. A pensioner's day has also been moved from the 28th to the 30th of May.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930-5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Bulawayo residents say they are living in fear of a stray lion which was spotted in the city's low-density suburbs a week ago and keeps eluding officials from the Zimbabwe Parks and Wildlife Authority, the ZimParks. ZimPark spokesperson Caroline Washayamoyo told local media that 9 rangers and a professional hunter are pursuing the lion and have already spotted its spoor, which shows that it is an adult lion. It is not clear where the lion came from, as officials from the Chipengali Wildlife Orphanage on the outskirts of Bulawayo say none of their animals are missing. Ward 4 Councillor Silas Chigora tells reporter Sitandekile Mhlanga the local authorities' rangers are also hunting the lion, which was first spotted by a resident in the city's Waterford suburb.
What I've heard so far about the roaming lion in my ward is that I've spoken to the lady, and the lady confirmed to me that she actually saw the lion.
She was at a funeral. And then when she went to her car and switched on the light, that's when she saw the lion. And thereafter, up to today, I've been trying to, you know, get more details about the roaming lion. You know, people are really talking. Some are saying it killed the dog, killed the donkey, and the cow in some areas. We have communicated to our local government.
How are the residents reacting to this?
The residents have been inquiring with me and the another local leader. My confirmation has been, the news has been coming, and we are treating that as correct news, as keep ourselves alert and keep our young ones, the children, indoors. It's better to take precautions than, you know, rubbishing the rumors.
That was Bulawayo's word for Councillor Silas Chigora on the line from Bulawayo.
ZANU-PF is reported to be probing its officials suspected of having links to the faceless Facebook character Baba Jukwa, who used the social networking site to publish alleged corruption and dirty dealings ahead of last year's elections. Baba Jukwa, who state media alleges was being run by two South African-based Zimbabwe journalists, has challenged ZANU-PF to prove he has indeed been unmasked. The Herald newspaper reports that ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mtasa said it was imperative that the party launches a probe to weed out those who might have leaked classified information to Baba Jukwa.
NewZimbabwe.com, an online newspaper, published documents it claimed were provided by unnamed hackers who went into Baba Jukwa's account, revealing that he was Zimbabwean journalist Mxolisi Ncube. Ncube and a colleague, Mkululi Chimoyo, identified as Sawira wa Baba Jukwa, another internet troll, have denied this and are suing the publications. The denial by the two and the continued postings of Baba Jukwa on Facebook has reportedly led to some in ZANU-PF to believe that the alleged unmasking could have been a ZANU-PF inside job to divert attention from the real Baba Jukwa. But ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo tells Studio 7 the ruling party will not waste time on trying to find officials who could have leaked information to Baba Jukwa. He says putting the economy back on its track is his party's main priority.
Baba Jukwa issue is a diversionary issue. We don't think it's important for us to focus our attention on that one. I think our attention should be focused on how to turn around the economy. How can we attract the investors in the country? How can we create a conducive environment, an enabling environment to make it possible for people to invest in the country?
But recent reports indicated that there could be some people suspected to be the Baba Jukwas. What do you say to that?
Well, it's possible that there could be people who facilitated the processing of information from the party to Baba Jukwa and so on. But to us, it's nothing. The important thing that we are going ahead, whether Baba Jukwa was there or not, we still got our victory in the 31st July elections, and that is what is important. Now, it's really, as I keep saying, is to focus on how to develop the economy.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
Too many Zimbabweans no longer view HIV as a serious concern, raising concerns of a resurgence of new infections. A programs coordinator Raymond Yekeye of the National AIDS Council tells Studio 7 each new generation needs to be reminded of the still serious nature of HIV and the importance to promote prevention.
I think as a country we have continued to score major successes in the fight against HIV. In terms of preventing new infections, I think we have seen a continuous decline of new infections over the years. However, we're beginning to see some kind of stabilization in the rate of new infections. And that, of course, is a cause of concern for the country. And we believe that there is some kind of relaxation in terms of our focus and efforts towards preventing new infection. Maybe it is because of the successes that we have scored in our treatment program, where we have, over the years, continued to increase the number of people enrolling on treatment and being maintained on treatment. For those on treatment, I think the focus now, of course, is to ensure that everyone who is in need of treatment access. But more importantly, for those who are on treatment, we ensure that their quality of life, quality of services that they are getting, continues to be monitored, continues to be improved.
What efforts are being taken by your organization, the National AIDS Council, and the government and other partners to try and address this issue of complacency of people, you know, taking a back seat and saying, oh, now we are okay, we don't need to protect ourselves in terms of HIV/AIDS?
What we're doing is engaging our partners to ensure that we all refocus our energies in terms of preventing new infections. That HIV is still real, and that we need to make sure that we prevent new infections occurring. One of the things that we are planning to do is to look at our modes of transmission for HIV. The last study we did was in 2010. Which was showing that the majority of our new infections were coming from multiple concurrent partnerships. But we think that the situation has changed, and we need to better understand where our new infections are coming from so that we can better plan our program and implement and target our energies towards the right interventions that will help us reduce new infections.
And in terms of resources, how are you, as the National AIDS Council, working with other non-governmental organizations also working in the same field in terms of trying to make sure that people have access to medications?
One of the key functions, of course, of the National AIDS Council is that of mobilizing resources for the national HIV response. And currently, we are working very well with our partners. These partners that we're working with include local and international NGOs. It includes people living with HIV. It also includes our UN family. And then, of course, some of the funding partners. We are currently actually working on putting together a proposal to the Global Fund to see whether we can possibly access resources for our TB program, which, as you all know, is closely related to HIV.
Our programs coordinator, Raymond Yekeye of the National AIDS Council.
And in sports news, Dynamo's chairman Kenny Mubaiwa says his club, which is currently not performing well, will soon bounce back to winning ways. Mubaiwa tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye his club is doing all it can to ensure fans turn out in their numbers to boost the players' morale.
If you look at our play last season, we played 7 games and all those 7 games we were drawn. But later on, we went to win the league. We have new players that are just coming into the team. So they're just waiting for them to gel. Once they gel, results will start coming. Our supporters mustn't panic. We are with them. We are going to produce good results very soon.
We saw last week your management had a meeting with your coach, Kalisto Pasua, with some fans and maybe some of management calling for his head and his resignation. What's the way forward for your coach?
We had a meeting on Wednesday, and it was not about firing the coach. Because he has lost only 3 games, and we cannot fire a coach for losing 3 games. That's unfair. The meeting was just reviewing where we started and where we are and where we are going, and the things that need to be done so that we produce good results. But it was not about sacking the coach.
Are you introducing anything new to make sure that the position of your team, Dynamos, improves as we go into the forthcoming weeks?
What we have done is we want to run Dynamos like a business in a professional manner. We want to see to it that we produce results within a short space of time so as to please our fans.
What fixtures are you looking up to this coming week?
This weekend, the Zimbabwe Defence Forces Charity Shield, we are going to play against Cape United in the semi-final. And they are definitely going to win this for our fans. We've beaten tapes several times, and they were going to beat them again on Sunday.
There's also been issues of some of your fans calling for Premier Soccer League clubs to reduce their gate charges. What's the position of Dynamos regarding this?
What we have done is Dynamos, because of the brand of football that we produce, we are saying that